From 2011 to 2016, we lost 2.2 million hunters nationwide amidst population increases. But during that time in North Dakota, we were actually one of four states that did not experience per capita hunting license decreases. By age, in 1991, 29% of hunters were over 45, but by 2016, 55% were older than 45. Today, we're going to visit with R3 coordinator, Kayla Bendel. I'm Mike Anderson with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Kayla, first of all, explain, what is the acronym R3?
Sure. So the three R's stand for recruit, retain, and reactivate. We're talking in reference to hunters, anglers, and shooting sport participants. So when we're talking about recruit, trying to get new people interested in hunting and fishing, retain, trying to keep our current customers or hunters and anglers happy, make sure they have plenty of opportunities and plenty of resource out there. And then reactivate, try to re-inspire, I guess, people that fell off and maybe haven't gone in a couple of years.
You're very involved in the outdoors, Kayla. You're kind of suited for this job.
For sure. So in the R3 world, I'm what we call a traditional pathway person, which means that I grew up with a lot of exposure to the outdoors, hunting and fishing. But since moving to North Dakota, I've become a lot more avid, I think just because we have such a diverse amount of resources at our fingertips. So I'm really excited about trying to convey that to other people, to get people excited about it and come up with ways to market our resources.
What's happening in North Dakota with our hunters and anglers?
So North Dakota is actually one of a few states that has not seen declines yet. Nationwide, we've seen a lot of declines in hunters and anglers, but North Dakota, we're still holding steady. And along with other states this year, we also saw increases, assumably due to COVID-19 and people just having more time on their hands and looking for safe ways to recreate.
As a game and fish agency, what is our plan moving forward?
So we're going to do our best to keep in touch with other states, to figure out things that have been working in other states, stay informed on R3 research and happenings. We're going to come up with a strategic plan of strategies that we think are going to be successful and find out ways to measure those so that 5 years down the road we can make tweaks or figure out what has worked. And also, I'm just going to stay in touch with all of our staff and make sure that R3 is on the forefront of a lot of our management decisions. And then finally, it's going to be a lot of marketing, just trying to rebrand hunting and fishing to that next generation and make it relevant to them.
Okay, and why do we care?
Right. So a lot of people ask that. As a hunter or an angler, you're like, fine, great, I don't want more people out there. But it's because hunters and anglers primarily fund wildlife conservation. So as a state wildlife agency, we're funded from Pittman-Robertson dollars, which come from an excise tax on firearms and ammunition, and from hunting and fishing license sales. So even things that don't impact game species, like non-game species, pollinators, upland grass, habitat restoration work, all of that's coming from those dollars. And so the future of wildlife conservation is in the hands of continuing to have hunting and fishing on the landscape.
Kayla, as far as reactivating, what would you say to somebody that quit fishing or quit hunting?
So now is kind of a great time just based on our game populations. Our fisheries are at a really great point. It's a great time to get back out there. I'd encourage you to take somebody new because I think that can get you reactivated in itself, is just seeing it all through someone's eyes again and kind of reinvigorating that passion for the outdoors. Depending how long it's been since you've been out last, there's a lot of new tools and resources at your fingertips. Lots of great access out there on the landscape.
As far as recruiting, if you're a hunter or angler, what can you do to help?
One of the big things that we're going to be pushing is mentorship. So if 30% of current hunters created a new self-sustaining license buying hunter, we'd have this issue solved. And so we're really going to be encouraging people to take somebody new, take somebody who doesn't already have the opportunity and the exposure. So maybe not your kids that you've already going to be raised in that environment, but somebody new. And also just make sure that you're leaving a good reputation for hunters and anglers out there.
And you're probably gonna have to take it more than once.
For sure. Mentorship is gonna be potentially a lifelong or at least a couple year process. Just continuing to support that person through their journey and learning anything new is difficult, but especially hunting and fishing.
Kayla, what are some opportunities and barriers for hunters and anglers?
So I think a lot of people are scared to hear that we want more hunters and anglers out there. Selfishly, you already feel like maybe your favorite spots are crowded. But you have to think that new people are coming to this for different reasons. So not everyone's looking for a mule deer buck tag or to go out and target walleyes on Sakakawea. There's a lot of other opportunities out there. There's doe tags, there's an extended squirrel season, there's shore fishing. It's not just going to be our traditional resources that we think of.
And financially, I mean, you don't need that expensive boat or expensive equipment to enjoy the outdoors.
Right. That'll be a lot of the things incorporated into our strategies is, can we create some more shore fishing opportunities and promote those, that you don't need to have a $50,000 boat to be successful at this, and it's something you could just sneak in on a weeknight even.
A lot of great information, Kayla. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.